Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk about Jonathan Kuminga now being a part of said basketball, and it's great. It's awesome. 2 years, $48.5 million contract, and everyone can start talking about, oh, he's going to get traded, oh, he's going to do that. We dominated this entire offseason talking about this guy, and he did not even miss training camp. And we talked about him like he was. You know, Juwan Jennings missed his entirety of his training camp, and everything was fine. You know, he comes back, oh, he's there, he contributed. Oh, it's fine. You know, Brandon Ayuk, he missed training camp holding out. Nick Bosa missed training camp. Trent Williams missed training camp. Jonathan Kuminga is showing up. He showed up. He didn't miss any organized Warriors activities, right? Now, the Jimmy Butler one, if you wanted to call that a team camaraderie thing, okay. But from the team, the Golden State Warriors, they're cashing the checks, the Joe Lacob, Golden State Warriors, Jonathan Kuminga showed up, and they got the deal done, and now it's time to get to work. And that's what I'm excited for. But we're talking about him like he's like legitimately like already destroyed this team's psyche. What?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess is my question. 888-957-9570. We got a bunch of people on the phone lines.
We waited all summer, 92 days for him to finally get here, and now he's here.
He's here.
And I'm seeing a lot of people, oh, here we go, January 15th, we're going to trade him away. Let's talk about what they have right now. Where does Jonathan Kuminga slot into this team right now? I don't think the Warriors today, when they all huddle up and everybody comes together and they start getting ready for their first couple of practices, I don't think they're like, put JK over there. We'll trade him in January. Like, they're going to play him. I don't know where.
Exactly.
I don't know where he fits in. So let's, if my starting five, hypothetically, Steph Pods, Jimmy Dre Horford.
Steph Pods, Jimmy Dre Horford. So you're having Pods in over Buddy Hield.
It's probably, I'm going to go Pods, but Hield was my other one.
Okay.
So let's just say whoever is the sixth man, it'll be either Pods or Hield.
Okay. Yes, I would agree. That is what we can agree on right now. Yes.
Okay.
After that is the major questions. Yes.
Well, your backup centers are probably going to be Quentin Post and Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So those are your backup centers. Who are your other players that are going to get in the rotation somewhere between the 2 and 4 positions?
Moses Moody.
Moody.
Guy Santos.
Wow, you went Guy before GP. Okay.
Well,
Any order.
Gary Payton exactly.
My bad.
Gary Payton II.
GP2.
Where's D'Anthony Melton at, health-wise?
It's a good question.
Seth Curry now?
Wow, that's a good question. Is Curry going to be a combo guard?
I don't know what he's going to be right now. Okay. I don't. I'm actually excited. That's cool. I think it's cool that his brother.
I think it's really cool.
I think it's with his brother. That's pretty cool.
I always wanted Seth.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. The aspect
I'm
of
with
that.
You on that. That is really cool.
So those are the other names that I would
one,
give you
two,
right now.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 would be Hield. 7, 8 is Quinn Post, TJD. So the 9th would be Kuminga.
Yeah. Around that. But I think Kuminga's a part of all of that.
Yeah. Yes. No, I know. These are the 9 guys that aren't the starting 5.
Exactly. And
wow, this is low. I mean, we're talking about cramped.
Well, it's good. You need depth because.
All right. Well, who are your fours on this team? Conceivably, who could play power forward on this team?
I mean, it's Draymond Green.
Dre.
Right. If you want Jimmy to play there, can.
I do think Jimmy could play some sort of a point forward.
Yes.
Okay. Kuminga.
Kuminga.
What about Moody? They tried it last year.
I don't love that.
I don't either, but they did try it last year.
Yeah, I don't love it.
What about Guy?
Guy, I guess, right? I guess Gui Santos.
Do you anticipate any two big lineups?
Possibly. Again, the thing with Steve Kerr is he will go at the matchup. Like any given matchup, he can change things up, which I actually respect about him. He's not going to have a set lineup every single time. Now, that might bite you come playoff time, but they're just trying to stack wins in the regular season, which I think you're getting at is they're going to have some time to tinker with this as the season goes on.
No, they have to.
But it needs to translate to wins on top of
it. Joe, I'm telling you, this team is crowded at the perimeter and primarily 1 and 2.
Yes.
They really don't have a traditional 3, and they really don't have a traditional 4.
They don't.
And I don't think they have a modern 3 or a modern 4 either.
I like the use of the word modern because I don't know what it is. It's a big question mark, and this is where Steve Kerr comes into place. He was able to solve that Rubik's Cube puzzle we kept talking about of this Warriors rotation once Kuminga went down. We said this is going to be one of the toughest tasks that Steve Kerr is going to have to deal with, bringing Jimmy Butler onto this roster, not knowing anything about him, coaching him wise, bringing him with Steph. How's he going to play alongside Steph? How's he going to play alongside Draymond Green? He doesn't have a three-point shot. He's going to be the slow-paced kind of a guy, right?
Yeah.
Slow things down, but he's going to be a dog defensively. How's it going to mix with Potts? How's it going to mix when Jonathan Kuminga comes back, right? And we never really got the opportunity to do that because his team was fighting tooth and nail in the standings at a 10th spot at the time.
Well, now, as I look at this, wow, it feels really crowded.
Yeah.
But let's take a step back. How many back-to-backs?
15, I think.
Okay, how many are in the beginning part of the season?
Ooh, it's a good question. I can look into that. But I'm pretty sure in the totality it was 15. But like 5, I think, is early on. In the
okay,
first,
so
yeah.
Let's just say 5. So there are going to be 5 games where there's no Horford.
Nope.
At all.
He doesn't play back-to-backs. For those of you who don't know, Al Horford has not played back-to-backs for the last few seasons.
So that's, you know, possibly 30 to 35 minutes. I don't know, maybe it's 25. 25 to 30 some odd minutes a game. 5 times. And then Jimmy, Dre, Steph. You would think they would stagger some of their missed games.
Correct. Yes, I would think so. You're looking at me.
No, I'm thinking how many games just in my head I should expect those guys to play this year.
Well, that's why the young guys are so important and taking another leap this year. What the Jonathan Kuminga,
that's
where he comes in on these back-to-backs in particular. This is where you lean on the young legs. And they have to make another step and leap. I thought Pods did take a leap last year. I thought Moody did take a leap last year. I think we're a little jaded because how it ended in the playoffs.
I would agree.
And it was bad. It was ugly. But you know what? That was Brandon Podziemski's first ever playoffs. I'm going to be a little softer on a guy like Pods there. Moody, that was his first like legit playoff exposure when it came to like minutes allocated.
Yes.
And he came up short. And he also had an injury, we all found out.
So they have 5 back-to-backs in their first 17.
There you go. 5.
So in their first 17. Wow.
It's incredible.
So, I mean, you would think Dre and Steph would miss at least one of those.
Yes.
Early on, and Jimmy at least one of those. So I guess where I'm going at is, on paper, when fully healthy, with normal rest, boy, it's crowded.
It is. But that's a good problem to have. Now, at the same time, we talked about this last year
exactly.
When it came to all those different lineups. It's like, they were winning. How sustainable was it? I think that's where you're getting at.
Exactly. But with the baked-in back-to-backs, I think that opens up playing time for Seth, for Moody, for Gui, for GP2, for Melton, for Kuminga. Like, naturally, I guess is the way I would put it.
And
organically.
And that's going to be the question, is how Kuminga starts playing with some of these other guys in the lineup combinations. I don't even care about, you know, the starting aspect of it all. And I get it. That's like some of the players, the stars do. Like,
I think
like
Kuminga cares. I do.
Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy. I think he did care at one point, Joe, about the starting.
Who?
Kuminga. I don't know if that's like a big deal right now for him on this squad because he understands coming back here, he's probably not going to be starting. There's going to be some games where he does. There will be some games where he does start.
Joe,
because as you mentioned, the back-to-backs.
Can I use the old man analogy I have?
What's up?
When I play on the 40-plus team, I know I'm a starter.
Right.
Well, when I play with all the young guys, I know I'm a bench player. You know what I mean? Like, that's you got to kind of know your role.
Do they have enough
are?
Young guys, though, to, like push Kuminga to the side that, like, shows, like Moses Moody, for example. I think this is a big year for Moses. Like,
I don't know what to make of him.
Can he build off what he did last year? I'm very curious because, God, it is hard for me as I'm kind of pulling a Steiny here, playing both sides. It is hard for me to, you know, disassociate what I saw in the playoffs and him coming.
But you also have to understand,
so small.
Play will fluctuate throughout the year.
I know.
Guys are going to play themselves in and out of favor based on form.
I know. And Pods for a stretch there looked like the best three-point shooter in the league. And then
early in the year, he looked awful.
And towards the end of the year in the playoffs, looked awful. Couldn't hit a shot.
So, look, Kuminga's back. Are you happy? Kuminga's back.
I am happy. Yes.
Where does he fit in? Kuminga's back. What does this roster look like?
It's funny.
No,
Let's go. They're great questions.
It's 888, go time.
888-957-9570. That's kind of how I phrase it early on. Kuminga's back. Now what for this team? Now it starts. Now it begins. That's why I think all the pressure is not on JK. It's not on Steph. It's not on Jimmy and Draymond. It's on the head coach this year to figure it out. That's where all the pressure lies to me is Steve Kerr. How is he going to figure this thing out, Joe? How is he going to be able to stagger these minutes? How is he, like, you're laughing, but it's true.
Joe,
I don't envy this. No. I think it is the most unenviable position as a head coach in the Bay Area right now. Whoever is going to be the next Giants head coach, Kyle Shanahan, whoever,
you think this is the hardest spot?
This is the hardest spot to navigate for a head coach right now. Might be in all of the NBA, quite frankly. No other lineup is going to have the age that the Warriors do.
Well, no, time out. They're one of the oldest teams. The Clippers are also very old.
Yeah, that's another one.
So don't sleep on how old the Clippers are.
Okay, I'm not going to sleep.
But they are, like, the combination of old and short, because they are the shortest, by average, the Warriors are the shortest team in the NBA.
But I'll say this, the Clippers stud that no one talks about, I know James Harden gets all the love, I know Kawhi gets all the love, Zubac is still relatively young. So, like, they do have some young size to lean on there. The Warriors don't have that young size, Kuminga, that they can lean on consistently enough, right? That's what I want to come out of this season, too, is to be able to lean on Jonathan Kuminga at times when that age is clearly a factor.
And I wonder where Quentin Post is.
Mm.
You know, he flashed. You saw promise.
Another guy.
You can kind of see where he might fit. You just wonder.
Steve Kerr didn't trust him at all in the playoffs.
I
don't blame him either.
I don't blame him.
But that's why that playoff exposure, though, was so important for these guys, I think. Now, it sucks. You'd like to learn, like, take, you know, what you learn with wins rather than losses, but sometimes it takes the losses to really learn as a player and just kind of get those scars, right, and those calluses. And I thought QP had to go through that. I thought Brandon Podziemski had to go through it. I thought Moses Moody had to go through it. There was a lot of trial by fire last year, and these guys were fighting tooth and nail to just get out of that 10th seed. Go through the plan. That first round series was a grind. They kind of made it harder on themselves going up 3-1 and failing to close it out in a short amount of time. And obviously it pushed it to 7. And that contributed to Stephen Curry getting hurt. That contributed to these guys being exhausted. And you saw it in that second round against the T-Wolves.
We talked about them all summer.
I know.
3.5 months.
I know.
And we're here. Where are you at, Warrior fans?
Well, not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.